on? Is this mic on? Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome to the Thanksgiving Eve program. Y'all set for whatever you're doing tomorrow? Family thingy? We've had, Kathy and I have had, and Molly, once she came along, and prior to that, my other children, had so many enormous Thanksgiving dinners. You know, you invite as many family members as can make it, and as many of your friends who are not going to make the trek to the family home. And, you know, I had some really good Thanksgivings doing that. This year we're going to go over to a friend's house. Yes, we are. Let somebody else do the major cooking. Kathy and I decided after watching that Sarah Palin video over and over and over again that there is just no way in hell we could prepare a turkey this year. So we'll eat some other poor, helpless, slaughtered animal. But actually, we're probably going to stick real close to vegetarian this year. I don't know why. Maybe it's that video, that Sarah Palin video. I want to remind you once again, I've talked about this a couple times this week and won't mention it again until Monday because we're taking Thanksgiving off and Friday, the day after. So after tonight, we won't be back until Monday. But this year, Nova M Radio is collecting tax-deductible holiday gift cards for HEAL. HEAL stands for Happily Ever After League. And it's an organization that supports mothers who are going through cancer recovery. You know, they've got kids. And it is a good organization to support to whatever degree you can. You can get more information about HEAL on the web by going to their website, helpheal.org. And if you are inclined to send a tax-deductible gift card, whatever amount, $10, $1,000, you know, anything, it's just anything, you can get the email address, I'm sorry, the snail mail address by going to novamradio.com. And the home office, of course, is in Phoenix on East Washington Street. But rather than my giving you the address, just go to novamradio.com and you'll find it there. And the organization, again, is helpheal.org. Gift cards to be sent to moms recovering from cancer surgery, cancer treatments. All right? Okay. I'm not really sure what to do with the program tonight. Anybody got any ideas? I took Molly to the zoo today, and because her preschool is out now until when? Monday? Oh, hurry, Monday. Her preschool is out until Monday. So, took her to the zoo. We were going to take one of her little friends, Sophie, but Sophie developed some kind of a upset tummy. So Molly and I went and had a good time. The Atlanta Zoo, if you can handle zoos, and I have to admit that I have a bit of difficulty in dealing with the zoo, but the Atlanta Zoo is tolerable. I don't know how the animals like it, but, you know, it's tolerable if you are the least bit sensitive and you know, go to a zoo. Because nothing is caged at the Atlanta Zoo. They all have natural habitat. But anyway, we had a good time. And there's a kid zone, kind of, you know, a kid place where they have the train that goes, I don't know, it's about a five-minute ride around the perimeter of part of the zoo. And there's a merry-go-round, an honest-to-God, where the horses go up and down, antique merry-go-round that the Atlanta Zoo got from someplace. It's authentic. Has the hurdy-gurdy sound when it goes around, which is really nostalgic. And it also has the other activity. There really aren't a lot of activities at the zoo. There's a little playground. But it's, you know, go check out the animals. But the third thing they have is a rock climbing wall that is probably, I think my best guess would probably be about 50 feet up in the air. It's not a monster, but it's, you know, if you're 4 years old, it's a pretty good climb. And they put you in a harness, secure you when you're a little kid, and then you start climbing with a rope or a cable that makes sure you don't fall and hit the pavement and splatter all over the place. So Molly's been eyeballing this thing ever since she's been two, but you have to weigh, I think, 40 pounds in order to do it. So this year she's given it a couple of tries, hasn't gotten very far. So today we walked by this thing. Daddy, I said, okay. So we went in, and the girl put her in the harness. The attendant put her in the harness, and she got, I don't know, maybe a third of the way up and let go of the side and swung out and came down with that look on a four-year-old's face that says, you know, if she knew exactly how to cuss, she would have been cussing. She knows the words. She's heard me. And that's a whole different issue. We've had to explain to her that there's certain words that Daddy uses because Daddy is at times illiterate and crazy. But so the second time, she tried it again, made it about two-thirds of the way up. Third time, about two-thirds of the way up. And each time, just that last little bit, there's a bell up at the top. And if you get to the top, you know, you're a kid, you get up there and you hit the bell, and it's like, oh, my God. So she just struggling to climb up this thing. I really have to give her credit because, you know, you're 50 feet. Maybe, I guess it's 50 feet. Would you say it's 50 feet, Kathy? It's pretty good size, maybe 60 feet. She is just struggling to get up this wall with the little handholds and pulling and just pushing with her feet. And then she reaches up, and I could hear her standing, you know, a mile below her. It seemed like a mile when it's your four-year-old going up a wall, you know. And I could hear her just, just the frustration, and she's going up this wall. And this kid is just determined to make it up the wall, to hit that bell. She got about, the last time she tried it, she got about 2 feet from the bell. And she's reaching for the bell, and instead of taking one more step, reaching for the bell, and off the wall she came. You know, the cable had her, but she swung out. And so they brought her down. I mean, after five or six tries, it's like, okay, there are other kids who'd like to try this. So she came down, and now she's crying. She's crying. I had explained to her, look, rock climbers don't cry. And she said, I'm not a rock climber. So she had me there. There's not a whole lot I could do. But it was just one of those little moments. You know, I tried to divert her by saying, let's go ride the merry-go-round again. You know, the hell with the merry-go-round. I was trying to climb Mount Everest, and I didn't make it. And it's amazing to watch this in a kid, right? Have you, your kid, your niece, your nephew, your grandkid, you notice this? They get to that age. I'm really glad to see it in Molly, because she is one determined little kid. I hate to say this, but so many times little girls get this pushed out of them by the time they're 4 years old. Oh, let's go play with the dollies. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but because Molly does have a couple of dolls, but she also has swords and shields and you know, she's really fixated on fairies, thanks to Bridget and John and she's very, very athletic. This kid, and if you tell her no, that means she's going to do it. Or if she thinks she can't do it, that's the challenge. And I love to see that. I'm really glad to see that. I'm sorry. I just got carried away on the zoo trip. Oh, my God. Well, the first segment's all gone. I apologize. She's fast asleep. She's going to try to conquer the damn wall. Maybe next week. We'll be right back. Aye. A rag-a-tang, a skeptical of changes in their cages, and a zookeeper is very fond of rum. Zebras are reactionaries, antelopes are missionaries, pigeons laugh in secrecy, and hamsters turn on frequently. What's a cancer at a pharmacy at the zoo? At the zoo. We'll
Nighty Night, Truth Seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. You're really not supposed to do that with talk radio, get all personal about your kid. But it's kind of a universal experience, right? Everybody has it. Everybody who has a kid or a niece or a nephew or a grandkid or neighbor's friend, neighbor's kid, whatever, anybody, any little kid that you hang out with. And pity the adult who doesn't have a little kid to hang out with on some level. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a universal thing, that's all. But other than Molly, my youngest is 30 years old, and to have this experience this late in my life, to watch a little kid going through all this stuff again, is a real treat. Sometimes I just get carried away with it, but it's a universal thing. If you know a little kid, hang out with her, really. Oh my God, or him, spend some time with him. You know what I'm saying. Ann Coulter had her jaw wired shut. We were going to mention this the other night and just didn't feel like it, but isn't that sad? The woman who says some of the most hateful things about people who don't deserve it. I say hateful things, too, but I say hateful things about Ann Coulter. But most people that Ann Coulter goes after, they've done nothing. She's just a freak.
Every time I hear this story mentioned, I just hear little faint strains of the Hallelujah Chorus somewhere echoing in the darkness that we're not subjected to Ann Coulter anymore for a little while.
Yeah. Broken jaw. No one knows who smacked her. She got hit. The idea is out there that... the name of the assailant should be made public so everyone could send him or her roses, you know? Anyway, this is the woman who used the F word on John Edwards, and I'm not going to go into it. She is such a pig. She really is. She's just an absolute, absolute pig because she attacks people just for the piggishness of it. Because all the right-wing males who eat Viagra and Cialis and the rest of it, when they don't have to, I'm not saying there aren't men who need this stuff. The only reason this ever came up, so to speak, was watching these commercials of these real virile-looking men and their gorgeous, sexy women, and the music swells because nothing else is going to swell. And the guy has to take a Cialis or something. That's the implication. And you look at this stuff, these men don't look like they have any physical condition that might interfere with blood flow to the penis or whatever the hell it is. I'm not quite sure what these drugs do. But Ann Coulter just inspires these men, these right-wing men. I think they want her to beat them with her high-heel shoes or... her black outfits or empty Cialis bottles or something. But when she goes after people, she does it just, I don't know, because I think she thinks the boys in the band love to hear it. You know, she just, I don't know. But it's good to know that for the time being, Ann Coulter can't talk. All the things she said about Muslims, about gay people, about... Oh, well. I wonder who smacked her. You know damn good and well somebody did. Oh, I fell down. No, you didn't. George in Seattle says, Mike, don't forget that on September 10th, 2001, September 10th, 2001, and George writes, I'll finish here in a second. George writes this because we're talking about the change the other night that Bush brought, what 8 years of the Bush crime family has given this country. George writes, Mike, don't forget that on September 10th, 2001, the Pentagon announced that they were missing $3 trillion. The next day, the subject changed. Yeah, remember that? Remember that? Of course, we don't remember that. A U.S. federal appeals court has ruled that a lawsuit against the Vatican over claims that the Holy See covered up decades of child sexual abuse by priests can go ahead. the lawsuit. The case was filed by three men from Kentucky who say they were abused by clergy in their childhood. The lawsuit is based on a directive from the Vatican dated in 1962 and wasn't made public until 40 years later, which told church officials not to discuss sex abuse complaints against priests. Keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. And on a visit, this is the hypocrisy that to me is just gagging. On a visit to the U.S. earlier this year, the Nazi Pope, Benedict XVI, criticized U.S. bishops for their handling of the child sex abuse crisis, saying their response had sometimes been very poor, whatever that means. Surely Pope Benedict, Karl Ratzinger, knows about the directive from 1962 that said, keep it quiet. Don't let anybody know about it, right? The Vatican is largely protected from lawsuits, but the court ruled that these people could be taken to court as part of their role as Roman Catholic Church employees. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, too. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. No more time.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 25 before the hour. Did you see this from Dongguan, China? Workers rioted there at a Chinese toy factory. Of course, it's a Chinese toy factory that makes Nerf toys for U.S. company Hasbro Incorporated. But what happened, there was a pay dispute at this toy factory in southern China, and it quickly turned into a full-scale riot as laid-off workers called up their friends and other unemployed laborers who just went berserk on this factory. They flipped over a police car, stormed into the plant, smashed office computers. Could be a model for American workers, you think? According to Business Week, the latest violent protest to rock China's export machine was still simmering Wednesday at the massive plant which makes Nerf toys for the U.S. company Hasbro. The volatility underscored the urgency of China's efforts to keep stoking an economy weakened by the global financial crisis. Well, mostly that global financial crisis is because we Americans are not buying stuff. We're not buying the poison from Chinese factories. We're not buying stuff that is saturated with lead paint or melamine or whatever other poison these freaks can come up with. They their form of capitalism isn't even predatory capitalism. It's poison, toxic, it's murder capitalism. I don't know what the hell it is, but, you know, if they are exporting white rice and it's not white enough for export, spray it with paint. That'll make it white. Yeah, but that could make people sick. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, we got to make the money. Spray it with paint. Go ahead. God damn it. What about these little yellow chicks, little peeps for Easter? You know, Easter's coming in the U.S. They're making these peeps over here now. Spray them with yellow paint. It's all right. Make them yellow. What about their little eyes? Here, put a piece of coal in there. So, you know, is this radioactive? Here. Now, box it up and ship it over. I just can't work up any sympathy for the Chinese. I really can't. I just can't do it. I think the whole culture is just bizarre. Sorry. That shows that I'm a ethno-cultural bigot. I don't know. I'm something terribly bad for saying that. I know I am. But I'm sorry. I can't do it. Sons of bitches tried to poison. What did they send? Toothpaste. Toothpaste! Where's the toothpaste going? It's going to the Caribbean, over near the United States. Okay, here, put alcohol in it. You, what kind of alcohol? You know the kind you put in a car, but that'll kill people. Oh, that's right. Doesn't matter. We make a profit. You know, doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Big pharmaceutical companies deal with China, like the ones that make Lipitor. I don't need to know this.
Did the box of essential, whatever the hell it is, come in for Lipitor so we can make these pills? Yes, it certainly did. Where'd it come from? China.
Oh, China?
Well, what's in there?
I don't know. Might be goat eyes. Who knows?
It looks white, though.
Make it white! Spray paint it! Jesus. So here we had a Chinese toy factory. And to protect jobs and social stability, the central government recently signed off on a multi-billion-dollar stimulus plan. Wait a minute, is this United States or? Oh, no, it's China. Okay. Also, officials have been urging factories to avoid large layoffs to keep people off the streets. No, don't let them go. Have them spray some more Lipitor white, but don't let them go. They'll riot. We don't need a riot. Christ, we're communists. We don't, we had to destroy Falun Gong. We had to destroy everything. Tiananmen Square, hello. Now we have 800 million workers, all of whom are going to be employed. What's going to happen? You know, things, I really do think that China's on the verge of another revolution. The Chinese central planning, the government, they're kind of like Republicans. And with the earthquake that killed all these Chinese children, what a tragedy, especially after the Chinese people have been told since Mao, one child, the one child only rule, one child, which probably was a good idea to try to cut down on the devouring of natural resources. But so they all went along with it, one child, which is totally counter to human instinct. You know, the DNA doesn't give a damn about communism or just get me into the next generation. That's all I care about. So after telling the Chinese moms and dads to have one child and then these shoddy construction, so when the earthquakes hit, and surely they know that China is just rife with fault lines, when the earthquakes hit and these schools pancake down into 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, oh my God. And now it's layoffs. First, they'll kill the children. Then they'll poison the ones that are left by putting melamine in the formula that is sold domestically to the Chinese babies. I don't like the Chinese. I'm sorry. Hate me. Call me a cultural bigot. I really, frankly, don't give a tanker's damn. I don't like them. Oh, Christ. I can see the emails coming in for that. The local Communist Party official in Dongguan, China, where this riot took place, said, when times are bad economically, a small incident can rapidly become a big one. Yeah, that's right. I wonder if it's going to happen here. The tempers began flaring yesterday when the owner of the plant prepared to lay off 216 migrant workers at a factory that employs almost 7,000 people. About 80 senior workers claimed they were getting shortchanged on their severance pay, and they mobilized a mob of 500, mostly other unemployed workers and friends, and then they went berserk. That's what Air America did to me. I didn't get my severance. I didn't get anything. Do we have 500 friends? We don't. We couldn't attack Air America in New York.
Okay. We could send them some Chinese toothpaste.
That's true. What else we got here? Okay, from our economic correspondent, Prairie Tube, writes, Mike, more October economic numbers came out today. All bad. Phrases like twice as bad as expected. Fourth consecutive month of steep decline. Much worse in September. Worst in decades. Worse than statistics have been kept. These phrases were used to put the numbers in perspective. Remember, when numbers come out this soon, they are what are euphemistically referred to as preliminary numbers. When the final numbers come out in another month or two, They will probably follow the pattern the Bush crime family has established. And that is, the real numbers will be at least twice as bad as they are saying now, and everybody is already saying, November will be much worse! Obama said in an interview with Barbara Walters that thinking about what the economy will do in the next 2 months keeps him awake at night. And remember, he gets to see the real numbers. The airlines found that the traffic on one of the busiest travel days of the year was no different than a typical Wednesday. They weren't able to fill their planes, even though they have dramatically reduced capacity. They announced 6 months ago they would do this while Bush was telling us, everything's going to be okay. The city of Postville, Iowa, you remember them, has asked the Department of Homeland Security for emergency aid as the town is near civil collapse. A Bush crime family spokesman seemed to think this slightly amusing, saying they were welcome to apply, but they only help with natural disasters, not the disasters they cause. Apparently, there weren't any no-bid contractors available. The CEO of the kosher meat processor has been ordered held in jail without bail until trial. Remember that? The kosher meat processing plant there was busted, 500 people, all undocumented workers. With the new system of justice, they bring in 8 or 10 at a time, rattle off the charges, translate it into some sort of Spanish, and in the translation say, now, if you plead guilty, we'll keep you for 3 months and then deport you. If you plead not guilty, we may hold you for a year till your trial comes, right? Something like that. Sons of bitches. So the kosher meat processing factory that supported an awful lot of tangential businesses in that town, Postville, Iowa, is out of business. And the city of Postville is asking for emergency aid. Back to Prairie 2. A glimmer of good news, though. The trustee of the bankruptcy court believes that he can restart the plant in Postville as early as next week and start issuing checks for back pay. The plan requires approval of the senior creditor, but with 700,000 kosher chickens eating up the company's assets, he thinks approval is likely. He's not sure, though, if there are enough workers left in town to reopen the plant. Where is Sarah Palin when you need her? Prairie 2. I'll tell you where she is. She's down here. She came down here to campaign for Saxby Chambliss, a disgusting, vile, putrid white man who is trying to win re-election as a senator from Georgia. I got to talk to you about that a bit when we come back. Not very much because this is local politics, but this guy is a real crumb bum. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
So, as you probably know, there are two Senate races that haven't been decided yet, Norm Coleman and Al Franken in Minnesota, and Saxby Chambliss, the incumbent here in Georgia, and Jim Martin, the challenger, Jim Martin being the Democrat. Jim Martin's a Vietnam vet. He's been in state government. He's done this, done that, worked for the State Department of Human Resources. He's a good guy. We had him on the air about a year ago when he was campaigning during the primary. And I like Jim. He's the kind of southern white guy that you just like. You know, I mean, there are some. Not all southern white men are, you know, total creeps, not by a damn sight. And Jim Martin is just a good guy. He really is. But the election is Tuesday, the runoff election, And it's still pretty close. The Republicans are throwing everything they can down here. They're really reaching into the sewer and coming up with people like Mitt Romney and Sarah Palin and Giuliani. And it's just incredible, the people they're throwing into the mix down here in order to get people to go out on Tuesday and vote this rat bastard back in. He's the one who compared triple amputee and former Senator Max Cleland to Osama bin Laden. Saxby Chambliss is just an evil man. I mean, there are bad Republicans. There are really crappy Republicans. And then there are evil Republicans. Anybody who will go that low. Chambliss was a draft dodger. Max Cleland went to Vietnam, volunteered, lost two legs and an arm, and was former Georgia Secretary of State, and then he was the head of the Veterans Administration during the Clinton administration. He ran for Senate. He was elected. And because it's Georgia, there are enough dumbasses down here who bought into Saxby Chambliss's argument that this triple amputee Vietnam vet was the same as Osama bin Laden, and Max Cleland was defeated. Saxby Chambliss was made senator. But Jim Martin is taking him on. Martin is a decent man. He's a good man. But if you spend any time here in Georgia and listen to these political ads that are up right now, you would come away thinking that Jim Martin is a child molester or encourages child molestation, is a thug, only wants to reach into your pocket and steal your money through higher taxes, beats his wife, eats children whenever he gets a chance and doesn't think anyone's looking, has nine girlfriends stashed away someplace with whom he's had 14 illegitimate children. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the dirt and the filth and the slime that this Republican is throwing against Martin. Now, how's Martin responding? Martin keeps hammering Saxby Chambliss on his record. That's all he's doing, hammering on his record and attaching him to George Bush, because Saxby is a Bush suck-up. Like all these Republicans have been. It's funny how they all tried to run away from George, right? Oh, not me. No. I'm an Abraham Lincoln Republican. I have nothing to do with George. George who? So Martin is pointing up Saxby Chambliss's foul, stinking record. And Saxby Chambliss is accusing Jim Martin, a good and decent man, of everything short of killing the Messiah. It's just unbelievable. Well, maybe that too. It's just unbelievable. And it's a laboratory experiment for anyone who would care to watch on the depths to which, not a laboratory experiment, what am I trying to say? An example of the depths to which Republican politicians will go in order to smear a good and decent person. Saxby Chambliss can't run on his record because, you know, he's just your typical neo-fascist Republican, white, southern, dirt-chewing freak. And he goes after a decent man, Jim Martin, on the basis that he is. And it's horrible to see. It really is awful, awful to see these commercials every single 15 minutes. Saxby Chambliss is being supported by the Republican Senatorial Committee, all sorts of 501 group. Is it 501? Is that what they call them? I don't know what the hell they are. I don't care. These outside groups like the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, remember them? And the ads that they're putting up are so, so disgusting. Well, tonight, after dinner, we had television on, and all of a sudden there's this beautiful, like an institutional ad. I mean, it's in full color and music swells in the background. There's Saxby Chambliss and his wife and his two grown children and his grandchildren. And they're sitting on a settee in front of a fire in the fireplace. And Saxby's talking about wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I just want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to our president elect. We have so much to be thankful for. Yada, yada, yada. I'm Saxby Chambliss, and this message I do approve. And I thought I was going to lose my macaroni and cheese. I swear to God.
You know you can't trust politicians in these ads when they're all wearing sweaters.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Saxby had on a sweater. His wife had on a sweater. The boys had on a sweater. Their wives had on sweaters, even though they're pregnant. The kids had on sweaters. The damn dog had on a sweater. Everybody's wearing a sweater. It's just vile. Now, that little story means absolutely nothing to anybody anywhere except here in Georgia, because y'all can't vote for a Georgia senator. But I'm sure you've got the same or had the same situation in your state. Republicans are politicians are just vile, vile bastards, aren't they? Just absolutely no moral center, no sense of ethics. They are completely amoral. They'll do anything to retain power so they can continue to destroy this country. It's unbelievable. Well, we'll know Tuesday, won't we, Kathy? All right, when we come back, email from Captain Mary and a bunch of questions about Casey from last night. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M Radio, coming to you from the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, deep in the Malloy compound, where the studio from hell exists behind enemy lines. Last night we had a caller, a woman named Casey, who told us that she and her husband had to leave the kids to Grandma and Grandpa and head south to Madison, Wisconsin to find work. And both of them had been laid off. They had owned a home. They had been living what sounded like a fairly typical American middle-class life until Republican economic policies crashed into them. And they were living in their car until they found work. And a couple of people heard that call last night and offered some immediate assistance, gas money, among other things, to maybe get them home or to their parents' house so they could be with their two children for Thanksgiving. We haven't heard yet if any of that worked out. We had a guy call in, a trucker, who was going to meet them or offered to meet them at a truck stop north of Madison, to buy them a tank of gas and give them a few bucks so they could get home. So, and then somebody else called in who offered some assistance. We haven't heard anything yet. If we do, we will let you know immediately. And Casey, if you're listening tonight, give us a call. By the way, we're going to open up the line, so jump in anytime you like. The number is 800-989-1480. Cat Mary, who writes to me quite a bit, I think Cat Mary lives in Memphis. She writes with a big chuckle at the beginning. The little addenda about Molly's play toys remind me of the first gift my dad got me that I really, really liked. It was a set of plastic helmet, sword, shield, and breastplate. Turned out that none of it fit very well except the sword, but hoo-wee, I had more fun with that stuff. I guess I was about 5 at the time. My dad at one time was Southern fencing champion, and he was excellent with foil and epi. Is that how you say that, Kathy? Well, you took French. E-P-E-E. Epi. Not as hot with the saber. We had a fencing club in our town, and when I was a teen, Mom, Dad, and I would go out there and have at it. He tried to teach me not to hold my foil so tightly. He did it by using his foil to knock mine out of my hand and then whapping me across the butt with his foil. I learned, and eventually, as he got older, I beat him. He wasn't the sort to let anyone beat him either. The other two best play toys he got me were Tom Corbett's Space Cadet game, roll the dice and go to the planets, learning their size and distance from the sun, etc., on the way, and the toy of letting me watch him do titration. It was pure magic when the liquid, clear liquid turned red. Memories. By the way, do you suppose the Somali pirates observe international talk like a pirate day? Captain Mary. Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Oh, my God, do I remember that? Woo! If you're listening online, you probably heard our AP Radio Network news that Nova M Radio uses. If not, you may be familiar with this story. The state of South Carolina, to celebrate the birth of the Savior, the baby Lord Jesus Christ, will, the day after Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, in other words, this Friday and Saturday, allow tax-free gun sales. Tax-free gun sales on pistols, shotguns, and rifles. On a gun that costs $400, which is pretty cheap, saving 7% on sales tax might encourage, you know, a purchase or two. A guy who leads the Low Country Patriots, that's what they're called. See, over here in South Carolina, you have the Hill Country, and then you have the Low Country. Whew. Low Country Patriots, a committee of the state chapter of the NRA, says, it might be enough if someone is already looking forward to making that purchase. Wait a week or two or a month even. They may make that decision. $28. That's about 8 gallons of gas. Oh, God. Now, when the law was passed, this is the second year for this. This is the tax holiday for handguns, rifles, and shotguns. And the governor, Mark Sanford, who I believe isn't he a Democrat? He vetoed the bill. But lawmakers overrode it in June. See, this is a thing that is so weird to me. I mean, it's comically weird. It's sick weird. But it's also the kind of weird that unless you're living down here, you really can't appreciate it. These crazy sons of bitches, they do an act of the South Carolina legislature to exempt handguns, rifles, and shotguns the day after Thanksgiving and Saturday as to celebrate two things, the birth of the baby sweet Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, and also to celebrate the second by God amendment. It's astonishing. If you don't live here, man, you don't know half the fun. It's just an absolute scream. And again, I've said this a million times. If you're a black man that lives in the South, you got to be careful as hell. If you're a white man that lives in the South like me, you can infiltrate, right? You can get in there. Hell, I've gone to Klan rallies out in Suffolk, Virginia. I have gone to snake handling church services up here in the North Georgia Mountains. I've been over to Low Country when they have them old shrimp boils going and the clam bakes and stuff and, you know, just talking the talk and trashing the trash and quick go out to the pickup truck, suck up on a doobie real quick, go back and go, damn, where am I? I'm telling you.
It's sad, really, when you think about it, that good old Charlton Heston didn't live long enough to witness the glorious coming of the melding of Jesus and ammo. You know, good old Guns and Moses, he would have loved this moment.
It would have been...
We should pause and respect that.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think we'll pause. You know, these crazy bastards. A tax holiday for handguns, rifles, and shotguns. How about for baby dolls, bicycles, and bananas? How about a tax holiday for that? How about sweaters, shoes, and gloves?
No, goddamn, that'd be communistic. You can't do that. Jesus Christ, you know, we're talking about Second Amendment here.
How about just food?
No. If you do it right, you can go out and shoot your own food. You can't do that if you don't have no gun. It is so crazy. Aaron is calling from Seattle, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah, I guess my comment's more, it was actually answering a caller yesterday just talking about this more has to do with the economy and the finance and where did all that money go?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it left the country, you know. I mean, we have a inflated stock market and inflated housing prices, and people bought goods based on those false future earnings and went to China, went to Saudi Arabia, went everywhere else. And I guess my question, you know, debt in itself is one a bad thing, but I guess it's also a necessary part of, I guess, improving life in general for society. You know, to start a business, you need to issue some debt in order to get started. I guess my question is, you know, how can we retool our debt process, our debt infrastructure, you know, in this country? One, debt getting issued is backed by actual, you know, an actual commodity, an actual collateral instead of fake collateral.
Well,
I'm wondering how we can retool that to get back to offering up money that, you know, the bank actually has or a person actually has.
Well, I understand the question. Let me see if I can give it some thought and answer it because we got to take a break here. All right, we'll be right back, Aaron.
You've been gone. Well, you really let us down. You may be heaven bound, but you've left one hell of a mess here at home. And God may forgive you, but I won't. Yes, Jesus loves.
Go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. 21 past the hour. All right, to answer Aaron's question, I think I understood how to get things back to some form of normalcy. You know, Aaron, I don't have a clue. In the first place, I think all interest is criminal. I think it's unethical and immoral to charge interest for anything. I really do. It took me a long time to get to that point because I had to work through the thing about, well, how else are you going to get capital if people can't make a return on their money? Why should they give you money if they don't get money back? The idea of collective finance where everybody pays into a pool and uses money as they need it and then you know, pay back. Now, there can be a fee for doing that. And that I think would be okay if the people putting the pool together decided that a fee would be acceptable. But I really do think that interest is immoral. It's against a lot of religious teaching also, by the way. There is an intrinsic attitude bias against making money from money. And when you stop and think about it, it's really kind of dirty, kind of poisonous, kind of toxic. But that's not where we live. We live in a place where making interest on money is not only nice and good and wonderful, but they have figured out ways to do it to the point where it strangulates
murders an economy, kills everything in its sight. Think about the predatory loan, the weekend paycheck loans or whatever the hell they're called, where they can charge 35, 40, 50, 60, 100, 150, 200% interest on the original loan. It's really, really bad. Think about your house. You buy a $150,000 house and pay for it on time, just like you're supposed to, over a 30-year period. You will pay back $500,000 for a $150,000 house. Interest on money is unethical. It's immoral. And it causes nothing but corruption. Absolutely, completely, totally. I defy anyone to show me in a rational, not crazed screaming emails, but a rational way how interest can be moral or ethical. I realized in and of itself it can't be either, because it's a concept, it's a construct, it's not a being. But you can apply principles of morality to behavior and ethical principles also. And having said all that, Aaron, the only thing I can think that might work would be to set limits on the interest that can be made. But, of course, that wasn't your question. Your question was how to get the economy back to the point where a $500,000 house is not really, we all know it's not worth $500,000. It might be worth $200,000. But the inflation or the speculation, I don't even think it was inflation, it was speculation. It was just craziness that drove prices up. Oh, hey, look at this, hot damn. And I think the people who run the money system, the finance system, the who understand how to milk the economy for all it's worth, I think they knew that. Yeah, great. Let these people think that their $200,000 house is worth $700,000. Let them borrow. Let them go into debt. We'll bundle up the borrowing. We'll slice it into little pieces. We'll sell it to people overseas. We'll make all kinds of fortunes and huge profits. Well, yeah. The first thing you do, Shakespeare said, the first thing we do is kill the lawyers. Now, the first thing we do is kill the lenders. Just wipe them all out. You know, just apologize and then put a bullet in the back of their head. Just say, I'm sorry, but, you know, the society has to survive. This is called utilitarianism, and phew, goodbye. Shakespeare said it, not me. And then start again with a rational system that is not does not permit irrationality. What did the former head of the Fed call it? Irrational exuberance. What the hell kind of a term is that? Especially when applied to the financial system. But there you have it, Aaron. I don't have any answers. I've said it many times. There are no answers on this program. I can give you my opinion, but it's, you know, that and $1.75 will get you a cup of coffee. So what can I say? Again, I think charging interest for anything is unethical, immoral. It's philosophically suspect. It's just dirt. And eventually, the idea of charging interest, eventually it devolves into usury, and eventually it devolves even further into destruction, chaos, and collapse. You want proof? Well, there you go.
Your day screaming
with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-five before the hour. Oh, and by the way, traces of AE writes, and traces of melamine have been found in Enfamil, an infant formula made in America by Mead Johnson Nutritionals. Director of the Food and Drug Administration Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition is reported in a Wall Street Journal article to have said the melamine traces, quote, did not cause any concern at all, not from a health standpoint, end quote. I wonder how you say that in Chinese. Yeah, it's here. I mean, in baby formula.
Yeah, none to worry about.
Before we go back to your calls, this was another one that got by me yesterday. A justice on the Washington State Supreme Court was at the Federalist Society dinner the other night when Attorney General Michael Mukasey freaked out and fainted or got bitten on his ass by a goblin or something. You know, he went down. Ugh! And Richard Sanders, the justice on the Washington State Supreme Court, said he was listening to Mukasey. He was in the audience listening to Mukasey. And what Mukasey was saying caused Richard Sanders, a Supreme Court justice, to reach his tipping point. After listening to Mukasey defend the Bush administration's counterterrorism policies, its detainment practices at Guantanamo, its interpretation of the Geneva Conventions, Sanders stood up and shouted, "Tyrant! You are a tyrant!" Sanders told the Seattle Times yesterday, "Frankly, everybody in the room was applauding or sometimes laughing. I thought I got to stand up and say something, and I did. I stood up and said, 'Tyrant,' then I sat down again, and then I left. And it wasn't until the next morning when he turned on the TV in his hotel room that Judge Sanders learned what happened after he left. Mukasey began slurring his words, slumped to the podium, passed out. He was taken to a hospital where he was released the next day after getting a clean bill of health." No, I don't think so. No, not a clean bill of health. No. Sorry, that's not how the human body works. Anyway, Judge Sanders said... of the news that Mukasey had fainted, he said, "I couldn't believe it." Mukasey's collapse occurred well after Judge Sanders shouted at him, of course, and the two events appear unrelated. But I've got to wonder why Richard Sanders, Supreme Court Justice in the state of Washington, was at a Federalist Society dinner anyway. None of my business. Maybe he went there for the same reason I would go, for the freaking geek factor. But Mukasey, Attorney General Mukasey, who was introduced by Charles Schumer, a Democrat senator, as a really good attorney general to replace the corrupt Alberto Gonzalez, who replaced the religious nutball, Ashcroft. So Charles Schumer, Democrat, shows up with Mukasey in tow and tells everybody, "He's a good one, he's a good one. Don't worry about it. Vote this one in. This is a good one." And Mukasey is a guy who says... that what goes on at Guantanamo stays at Guantanamo, so to speak. And it's all okay, because after all, John Yoo and Alberto Gonzalez and Harriet Myers, and a bunch of these other criminal sons of bitches all wrote memos to each other saying, "Torture's okay. It's okay if the president orders torture. This is now an okay thing. Here is the memo that makes it an okay thing. Signed, John Yoo, Harriet Myers, Alberto Gonzalez, and now this pig, Mukasey, who says that the Geneva Conventions suck. Tell you what, Mr. Mukasey, let's put you in a uniform, give you a weapon, and drop you on the plains of Kandahar. And if you're not killed, you will be captured, and you will then be a prisoner of war. As a matter of fact, you will be an invader. Let's see if you start screaming and crapping in your pants for somebody to enforce the Geneva Conventions once you are taken to a mountain training camp run by the Taliban. I hate these pigs. I just hate them. I hate what they've done to my country. I hate what they say, what they stand for, who they are. I hate the smell of them. I hate the clothes they wear. I hate whatever brand of toothpaste they use. I hate their shoes. I hate their ancestors back to the 40th generation. I hate the sidewalks they walk on. I hate the park benches they sit on. Excuse me.
Got a little carried away there, didn't I?
Son of a bitch, this guy's an attorney general. Attorney general.
Hey! What goes on at Guantanamo stays at Guantanamo. Ain't a damn thing wrong with that. No! Torture the little brown sons of bitches. We'll get the truth out of them.
Got to respect Richard Sanders, Washington State Supreme Court Justice, who stood up and said, "Tyrant, you are a tyrant." Good for you, Judge Sanders. I don't care why you were at the Federalist Society dinner. I couldn't care less. Good for you for just too bad the son of a bitch didn't keel over with a heart attack. That's how much I hate him. Sorry. I've said before, no mercy. None. Mm-mm. Not for me. Not for these pigs. No mercy. No mercy. And that invisible whip eventually is going to hit all these people. It will. There's no way they can get away from it. Eventually, the invisible whip gets them. Back to your phone calls. Rob is calling from Mount Iron, Minnesota, listening on Sirius. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Mike.
Or is it Michigan? No, it's Minnesota.
No, it's actually Minnesota. I mean, you're old enough to be able to remember the... I didn't want to talk about politics at all.
Yeah.
But do you remember in the late 80s, Bush won, where we had to be able to bail out the banks because of Latin America loans?
We had to bail out who?
The Latin America, the banks, because of Latin America loans.
Well, I remember Argentina went bankrupt because of the neoliberal policies, the shock.
I'm only talking about a broad spectrum here. It's where, you know, like,
oh, okay,
where,
sure. Yeah, I remember.
You know, it was like $300 billion or something like that with Bush 1, where we had to bail out the banks.
Right, right.
Because
I do,
they made all these bad loans.
Uh-huh.
Now all of a sudden the sun comes along, and it's where we're doing the same thing.
Say that last again.
We're doing, all of a sudden the sun comes along, and we're doing the same
thing. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. This is the Bush crime family. It's
like
not
it's father, not, like son.
Well, father, brothers, son, grandfather. Don't forget, George W. Bush's grandfather financed the Nazis.
Yeah.
George Bush's mother is the illegitimate daughter of what's his name, Aleister Crowley, and who's the woman?
Yeah, all those things out there.
Ann Coulter?
No, not Ann Coulter.
You know, I was where, with the older man, Bush, President Bush won, it was like $300 billion. Now, son, it's like $7 trillion. And, the only thing is where, how long did Molly try to be able to fight that wall?
She spent a good half an hour. By the time she finished up, it was cold again here today. It was in the 40s. She was sweating. She was pissed off.
Kept on going after it, huh?
She kept going, and when she finally realized she wasn't going to do it today, instead of just cursing the wall, she came down and cried.
Did Molly create the Molly karate glove?
I don't think so.
No, but, it's where, I heard the commercial out there. It's where, hi-ya, have you heard it?
No, I haven't heard it.
No, it's where there's a commercial out there where, the inventive youth, it's where they create, there was a Molly out there that created a Molly glove. She can bust through 8 guitars and tear up pianos and tear up houses and all these other things. That's not your kid, is it?
Have you ever had a 4-year-old?
No.
Okay, they can do that without anything called a Molly glove. It's just their energy does that. Just choo! Thanks, Rob. Got to leave it there. Scott writes from Somerville, Massachusetts, regarding Citibank. He writes, "Yeah, check this out. Citibank was going under, so I was sweating a little because I have a Citi card, a MasterCard with about $6,000 on it. I'm paying it off cheerfully, several hundred a month or so. But I figured if they tank, they'll be calling in the debt. Instead, they get bailed out so they can continue to float my bill. But yesterday, The same day they got bailed out, I received a notice from Citibank informing me they will jack my interest to 29.9% if I'm late on a payment. If I'm late on a payment. Where's Tony Soprano when you need him? Yeah, yeah, where indeed. 29.9%. Wow. 29.9%. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. Piece of advice: don't miss a payment. All right, time to take a break. Then we'll come back for more phone calls. I told you I didn't know what the hell to do with the program tonight. I get kind of dingy like this on programs right before a holiday, but that's all right. I'm thinking about having Thursday off and then Friday and then the weekend, and it's just a little bit hard to focus. You having the same problem? But we do want to hear from you. 800-989-1480. Got three open lines. Get in here and join me.
Gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. This is the Malloy program. What else we got here? Well, this can wait till the next hour. Let's go back to your phone calls. What the hell? Where in the hell everybody go? Start with Mark in San Diego, listening on the internet. Hey, Mark.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, your show has been alternating rapidly between boundless compassion and infinite anger. after last night, and you know, I was just sitting there thinking of the people across the country who were listening to the story of this couple that were in their car in Madison in November and possibly December.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking there's a lot of energy there, you know? And the other thing I was thinking is that we're just going to have to learn how to be kind with each other, because I think this is the beginning of it. We'll get through it. But, man, it could be a couple years of just hell. And I'm thinking maybe a new feature for your show would be, like, Mike's Rent Party. You know,
Mike's rent party.
Mike.
And how do we pick the benefit-ee?
Oh, I got a feeling they'll find you.
Right, but I mean, like, if 10 people, it's kind of like Queen for a Day. What, I hold my hand over there, each phone call, and everybody applauds, or what? I don't know what to do.
I don't know. But, you know, I was also thinking last week you had that guy who was like the loan adjuster who was trying to keep people in their businesses. And
yes.
And, you know, it's the pain that everybody feels. And I'm sure listening to your program, the intelligence level and irascibility of the people who listen to your show, I just think we all have an opportunity to just practice, like, somebody's going to get in your face asking for money, you know, and I think we should get used to giving if you got it, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's one thing they can't put down is our kindness. And if we have, if we got a little and somebody doesn't, and it's no fault of their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was a repo man for Toledo Trust in 1982. After I had a master's in biochemistry, and the only job I could get in Toledo was a repo man. And I always was trying to help people figure out how to do it. And then sometimes I had to tell them, look, you know, you got to get rid of that car. I grew up in Toledo. I know you wanted to buy a Buick your whole life.
Right.
You can't afford it. Bring it in and it'll stop it'll stop the pain right away.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, man. It's not your fault. And yeah. I think that we can just tell people it's not their, well, if, you know, the fact that we haven't had a revolution means it is our fault in some ways, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, we live in a society that, if you're not as quick as the TV commercials, you're going to wind up with skid marks on your back.
Mm-hmm.
It is so difficult to try to just check out of the madness and say, wait a second, you know, this is insane, and cut ourselves free at least to some degree. Now, I'm talking about everybody in general. I have a lot of listeners who've totally cut themselves free from the commercialization and the, you know, they're barely living on the grid, if they're living on
right.
the grid at all.
Yeah.
But for the other 300 million of us, you know, this is a, you've heard this term before, this is a consumer society. We don't consume anything. We may convert it from a usable product into junk that is then shipped to China, where it's reconfigured into another usable product and then reconverted into junk once again. And the cycle goes on and on. Every time somebody refers to anyone, but especially us Americans, and especially if it's Bush, refers to us as consumers, you know, I just want to break something. We don't, you know, what consumers? We are despoilers. We are users. We are converters. We are, we screw things up, but we don't consume anything.
Yeah.
And to break away from that mindset that's been pumped into people since the Industrial Revolution, there's not a society on earth that has gotten a taste of the poison of Western style neoliberalism who doesn't want things. You know, everybody needs to go back and read Brave New World, how the you know, the unborn were programmed. You know, you were either an alpha or a beta or a gamma, but you were also, if you were an alpha or an alpha plus or even a beta, you were programmed to want new things. And when Huxley wrote that, Christ, he wrote it in what, Kathy, the 40s? I mean, even then, you know, there were people, most of them artists, who understood, writers who understood what was going on. But that programming, it might as well have been a genetic tampering as far as Americans are concerned. And I think that's what drives a lot of people crazy, because
yeah.
they don't have the new car, whether it's a Mercedes or a Ford SUV, it doesn't matter, as long as it's big and honking big vehicle, or ass tight blue jeans that are made that cost $700 a pair, or it's crazy. Oh well.
Well, maybe they'll change, you know.
maybe we will, Mark. Maybe we'll have to, right? Maybe
yeah.
there won't be any choice. All right, man,
yeah.
thanks. I appreciate
okay.
appreciate
thanks.
You checking in. Oh. John is calling from Madison. Is this Casey's husband?
Yes, it is.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Did you guys manage to meet up with the guy who called last night?
Yeah, she was able to, and I was at work, and I'm at work again tonight, so I just wanted to call and say thanks to the trucker. I mean, he really didn't have to do that.
That's
true. I'm grateful beyond anything that anybody can imagine that he did do it.
Well, John, I'm glad you called in, man. I really am. I you know, there are some other people who would like to get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
If let me put you on hold, and our engineer and associate producer will get Casey said you had a prepaid cell phone.
Right.
Get the phone number, Ian, and if you will just hold on, John, we'll talk when we come back after the break. Well, I just happen to like power rock. I used to get mocked because I thought Journey or REO Speedwagon were, they're just great power rock bands, you know. I remember when Jefferson Airplane became Jefferson Starship, and everybody went, "Oh Jesus, it's just corporate rock now." All right, we were talking with John, Casey's wife, right before the break.
That would be Casey's husband.
I'm sorry, Casey's husband, right before the break. And apparently, they met up, and John and Casey got a bit of help from the guy who just happened to call in. The truck driver just happened to call in and said, "I'll help." Now I'll tell you what we've done here, and this is not, no pressure. All right. But Ian, our associate producer in Phoenix, who answers your calls, Ian now has John's prepaid cell phone number. And just, you know, if you're in the Madison, Wisconsin area, I'm not asking anyone to do anything outside of that area. But if you live in Madison or listening on the mic, and if you're so inclined, if you want to, throw a little in the hat for these folks, you know, just this one time, when you call in tonight, ask Ian for the phone number. And I guess that's okay. I guess John will not mind if someone calls him. Maybe he will. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure what to do here. If you are a righteous person and you want to do this, just do it the way you want to do it. Right? Okay. And like I said, no pressure. Apparently John's phone was running out of time. We couldn't hold him over. He had to go. Because I would like to know how that worked out. Apparently it worked out fine. Well, as fine as could be expected under the circumstances, right? All right, back to your phone calls. George is calling from Durango, Colorado, listening on Sirius. George, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I've got to say that I actually have liked Humberto Gonzalez and Ashcroft and the Casey, and I don't curse or spit on the ground that Bill Clinton walks on or that you walk on. I respect your liberal points of view. In your view, I'm a pig, and I am. I am a capitalist pig. When I was 19 years old, I stood 6'3", weighed 200 pounds.
All right, George, let me ask you, do you have a point? I'm sure your testimony is wonderful.
You're wrong.
But frankly, we're not all interested in hearing your life's history. What's the point of your call?
You were talking about interest and charging
right.
interest as being wrong.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
I've been on hold here for a long time. You control time on Sirius Radio.
Okay, George, do you have a point? Honest to God.
Your hypocrisy.
Okay.
You're talking about interest as being wrong. You, sir, control time on this airway. It is an asset.
George, have you been drinking?
That asset out. You rent that asset out. And
have you?
You've
been drinking, right? You've been drinking.
No, I haven't been drinking.
You smoking something? Any wacky tobacco?
Wow. You have to reduce yourself in this conversation.
Well, no, you're not making any sense. Well, I've asked you as politely as I can. What are you talking about?
You are wrong.
Okay, I know you've said that. I'm wrong about what?
About charging interest.
Okay, how am I wrong? How am I wrong? I don't care if you were 6'12" when you were 13. I don't care about that. How am I wrong?
Go back to you controlling.
No, oh, Jesus, God, get rid of this guy. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. It never fails. You see what I mean? God.
I control an asset on Sirius Satellite Radio. That makes me wrong about interest.
Absolute freaks. Jesus. Let's get back to reality. David is calling, the trucker that called in last night when after Casey called. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
So I met up with Casey last night.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, her husband, John, called in and said that you did help. I'm glad to hear that. I got just an abundance of emails over the course of last night and today of people who thought your phone call and a second phone call that came in after you also offering help were just generous beyond belief. And we're glad that they were tuned in last night to hear that, you know, what you had to say. Not what I had to say, what you had to say. And I certainly applaud you for that, pal.
Well, this really takes me by surprise. You know, excuse me. I was telling her last night when I stopped and met up with her that just in the past 2 weeks here, our butcher shop, our video store, our flower shop, and our version of a Kinko's, you know. They all closed in the past 2 weeks.
Is that a small town? You were from Texas, right?
No, I live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
In Crystal Falls, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, Upper Peninsula is taking a real ass-kicking. It's
taking a hard hit, I'll tell you. And, yeah. You know, we graduate 52 kids a year from our high school here, and, you know, businesses are closing up. There's houses for sale everywhere, and, the whole middle class is just being dismantled piece by piece. And, you know, I was listening to a guy on right-wing radio the other day, and he was talking about how the union is the fault of the automobile makers going under, and he was talking about how we need to get rid of unions. And, you know, the truth of the matter is police officers are in a union. Firefighters are in a union. Electricians, plumbers, construction workers, carpenters. Sure. You know, I mean, the middle class built this country, and the middle class fights the wars for this country, and the middle class pays the taxes in this country. And it's time we all flexed a little bit of middle class muscle and let these people know that we're tired of being taken for granted.
Yeah, and the unions built the middle class. Had there not been a union movement, there would be the wealthy and a class of workers that would be more like serfs than actual self-sustaining workers. Anytime I hear a right-winger like this snot that I had on right before your phone call, anytime I hear them trying just desperately, like somebody clawing at... you know, they seem to be encased in something that is just taking their lives away from them, and they're clawing, trying to get air.
I know what you mean. I don't understand that whole viewpoint.
I don't either. Without unions, you know, as a point of fact, I think only about 9% of the American workforce is, that's still a lot of people, but only about 9% is still unionized. So when they talk about the unions are the problem, they're crazier than outhouse rats. How could something that's only 9% of the workforce be the cause of the problem? These are people who have been so brainwashed into believing that that organized labor, that collective bargaining is because Rush Limbaugh has told them so, or the pig Hannity or the rest of these swine have tried to convince and done a good job in convincing people that if you join with other people to stick up for your own self-interest, huh? That somehow that's bad.
Yeah,
Jesus, God!
And somehow they want us all to believe that they're worth $5 million a year.
Well, you know, Limbaugh...
I mean, everybody's free to cut their own deal in this country, but
right.
I've never seen a car that was worth $40,000. I've never seen a man that was worth $5 million a year.
No, there is no such thing. There is no such thing.
But, you know... It just seems like in the 60s and the 70s, you had a gradual growth, you know, where everybody prospered. And then all of a sudden, one day, somebody woke up and said, you know what? 3.5 or 4% profit on my money a year isn't enough. I want 9 or 10. Right. And it just ballooned all across the whole canvas of our economy. And before you knew it, nobody was happy with anything they were getting.
That's right.
And it just started this gluttony of greed that you wonder why kids don't want to take jobs at McDonald's and everything else. You know, it's just a mess. What they've done here is they've changed the whole psyche of going out and earning a dollar and learning the value of a dollar, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's terrible what
they've done. Yeah, it is. It is, David. It is. I don't know, man. Sometimes it's real hard to keep a positive attitude, but it can still be done. And for a lot of people, your phone call helped with the positive attitude last night. So let me again just say thank you for that. Okay.
Well, thank you guys, and I hope they enjoy their time with their sons. And I've been trucking for 26 years. I know what it's like to miss a football game or a dance recital or a holiday, and I know how important it is to, especially when you've lost everything. I've been there too. So
I hear you, David.
Sometimes you just got to claw your way back.
You do, David. Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Mike.
All right, take care, pal. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm bound to follow my conscience, and I'll do whatever I can. And it'll take much more than a union law to knock the fight out of a working man. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
I just don't know why people of the right-wing persuasion even call this program. I don't think I've ever gotten a call from a right-winger that was such that the caller could focus, could put together a sentence. I mean, I don't mind the insults. That's fine. But, you know, after all the insults are spit out, then what's the point of your call? You know, why are you calling? Tim in Indiana referring to that guy. And by the way, David, thanks again, man. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for the good deed. Tim in Indiana calling in about the right winger says, they say everyone has an opposite. Your caller was like some kind of anti-Garrison Keillor. It would have been interesting to see how long he could have droned on and on about nothing. Yeah, I know. I guess in the big picture, I should leave people like that on, but and let them discuss how I'm using the assets of Sirius Satellite Radio to further my, I don't even know what the hell he was talking about. Kathy in Green Bay writes, no snark here. Today the Obamas were at a pantry handing out food. Our new president said that he wanted his daughters to know how fortunate they were and to learn to give back. I think this is what happens, Kathy writes, when one goes from an MBA president to a community organizer president. The values of the United States, the ones that you and I learned growing up, those liberal values, perhaps will manifest themselves again. Greed is not good. It's just greed. And it pollutes our national psyche. Yeah, it does. It really, really, really does. I guess it was like the mid-80s when I felt like a wave was breaking over my head. And I knew I was not going to be able to keep up with what was happening. This is back, of course, the movie Wall Street was out. Greed is good. And I watched a lot of my friends who were just doing copious amounts of cocaine you know, running Mercedes and Rolls Royces right up their noses. But still making so damn much money, I don't know what they were doing. One was a graphic designer, another one was in the banking, and another one was in real estate, and another one was this, another one was that. And a couple of women friends, too. And what they were doing was just making all kinds of money. But these were friends of mine who at one time had kind of not dedicated, but semi-dedicated, at least talked about, well, they're going to take an artistic approach to life. They're going to go into theater. Well, I'm going to do writing. Well, I'm going to do graphic design, but from a socially responsible standpoint. Well, I'm going to be, do sculpture. I'm going to be a weaver. And something happened in the 80s. And they may have kept those skills and stuck them on a back burner someplace, but all of a sudden, it was greed beyond belief. And like I say, I knew that wave was just breaking over my head. There was no way that I could or would participate in that. I had a very young son at the time, was a single father, just had gotten into radio, and there was not a lot of money. I think my first radio job was the first one was free, didn't pay me anything, but the big time, I made 30 grand a year. And I kind of lost touch with the greed thing back in the 80s. Here I am 20 years later and 25 years later just saying, whoa, what happened?
Don't sell that old cow for a car. You might want to stay right where you are. Take a little advice from me. Cause I read the one ads every day. The voices in the paper always say, if you ain't got the dough, write me. Boy, if you ain't got the dough.
The primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away.
25 before the hour. Alright, the right wing nutball who called in and just swallowing his own bile, couldn't get out what he wanted to say. You know, he wanted to tell me I'm wrong about interest being evil. All right, our economic advisor, Prairie 2, writes in regarding interest. It isn't that interest is inherently evil. It's the manipulations that people who lend money develop to multiply their profits. The word bankruptcy originally referred to the, quote, breaking of the board, end quote. Money changers, yeah, like in the temple, would use a special counting board to measure the exchange of money. Those caught cheating would have their boards broken, among other things. When Reagan took over, the savings rate in the United States was 11%. It is now negative 0.5%. In China, the savings rate is 40%. I actually heard an economist claim in an interview last week that the credit crisis and the generally horrible economy in the United States was the fault of the Chinese people because they saved too much money. U.S. currency is all issued as debt. We, that is the government, borrow the money from the Federal Reserve, a private company. If the government issued its own money at cost to anybody who had real assets, like farmers, manufacturers, retailers, etc., the same way the banks and finance companies do now at absurd profits, we wouldn't have inflation. If you set the minimum wage at a level where people can live, you would have savings to finance growth and investment, the same way the country that will soon dominate the world does. Until I can put my savings into yuan's, Chinese money, I'm putting it into canned goods. He always gets that canned good thing in there, doesn't he? How much canned goods do we have?
We have a lot of beans.
Apparently not enough. Right now I have an extra can of pumpkin and some soup.
No, we do have we have beans. We have spaghetti sauce. I mean tomato sauce.
A lot of tomato paste.
Tomato paste.
Cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah, I got some cream of mushroom soup.
Mandarin oranges.
Yeah, those little Molly likes those.
Let me go check. I can run up there real quick. I know I have some mushrooms.
We have rice.
Pineapple.
Canned pineapple.
Yeah, I like to keep those little half cans of vegetables for Molly, like corn and beets and carrots that don't have any salt added. And I have some peas. Will that do?
That'll do. Here's one more in an ever-diminishing list of Bush stories, because it won't be very much longer that they'll all be retrospective rather than current. But it, according to New York Post, which, you know, is a Rupert Murdoch paper, so take it for what it's worth. But according to New York Post, the Bushes sent out an invitation to Jewish leaders for a Hanukkah reception at the White House. The message read that the first couple, quote, request the pleasure of your company at a Hanukkah reception. And it was written beneath a Christmas tree. an invitation to Jewish leaders for a reception, Hanukkah reception, with a Christmas tree on the invitation. Now, for her part, the Laura Bush's spokesperson apologized on Laura Bush's behalf, more or less blaming the mix-up on the fact that neither she nor her husband really give a damn about anything anymore. So what difference did it make? But can you imagine that? I mean, right up to the last minute, right?
I wonder if they were going to serve ham.
Back to your phone calls. Michael is calling from the Bronx, listening on the Internet. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
All righty. Counting down to the holiday. First off, if I may, I want to take this opportunity to wish you and to wish Kathy, like, say hi, Kathy, and wish your loved ones a very happy Thanksgiving, a great holiday. And a little bit of a holiday humor tip that when you inspect your turkey, also inspect your guests. Make sure everyone's accounted for. You don't want anybody such as Bush, Cheney, or any other right-wing bastard that's coming in to crash your party, because you're supposed to have a good turkey at the table, not no jive turkey.
All right, Michael!
But another reason I'm calling is that I don't know...
Shit-a-boom. Go ahead.
Right on. And another reason I'm calling is that I don't know if you heard of a news report that a federal judge blasted feds, I guess these are feds under the Bush doctrine, for racial profiling. There were two Arab passengers that were on the airplane going to the JFK airport, and the two cops on board said that these two guys weren't doing anything wrong. But they got some word that they had to detain him anyway because of the loom of 9/11. Now, this judge blasted those cops and blasted the U.S. attorney, Warshawski, arguing that Arab ethnicity is a relevant consideration because of the 9/11 terrorists were Middle Eastern men. The judge said, and I quote, "There is no doubt that the specter of 9/11 looms large over this case, but fear cannot be a factor to allow for the evisceration of the bedrock principle of our Constitution. This judge's name was Frederick Block, and we need more judges like him. I have a feeling, Mike, that under the Obama presidency, we are finally going to have a restoration of the laws and the Constitution. Thank God for judges like this that are slamming the Bush doctrine." And one more thing, to that idiot that called you before, the right-wing nutcase,
yeah.
You know, you said over and over again that you welcome right-wingers to call up, but they damn well better be prepared to give you some good, solid facts and don't BS you.
Well,
and I'm with you on that because just like you don't, you have zero tolerance for talking with them or reasoning with such propaganda. You know, we, your listeners and truth seekers, have zero tolerance for their propaganda. So a special message for that right-winger, if he is still listening,
yeah.
You lost, buddy, and you get this. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Michael. Same to you, pal. Appreciate it.
Got to appreciate a caller that brings their own FX.
Yeah, well, that's from the Apollo when they, I think it's from, what is it, the variety show at the Apollo Theater?
Showtime at
the Apollo, yeah. At the very end, when the crazy guy comes out of his really bad act, they come out. And
I thought that was the sound effect from The Price is Right.
It's the loser horn from The Price is Right.
Oh, is it Price is Right?
Yeah, you just don't watch enough television, Malloy.
I don't. I love Showtime at the Apollo. But
yeah, no. Wrong. Sorry.
Okay, all right, okay. Well,
that's if you don't know The Price of Rice-A-Roni and you can't drop your plinket down the right plunket or whatever. You spin the wheel and you go over a dollar. Get with the program here.
I guess I should. I guess I should. Where was I? There was something very, very pertinent to this out-of-control program tonight that I was going to say right after Michael.
You notice there's always Rice-A-Roni on that show. I've just been full of bizarre observations. Saxby always wears a sweater in the homey commercials about Thanksgiving against Jim Martin. And there's always Rice-A-Roni. I would tell you what, if you ever go on The Price of Right, you better know your Price of Rice-A-Roni. And we may have some Rice-A-Roni upstairs. Want me to go check?
Kathy did a lot of cooking today, and I think some of the things that she was making, because when we go to this dinner, she volunteered to bring 3 or 4 desserts and some sweet potato souffle, and I think 1 or 2 of the desserts had something alcoholic in it or something.
Want me to go check?
No. You just stay right here. Back to your phone calls. Roger is calling from Brooklyn, listening on the internet. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Happy holidays to you and Kathy. And I just wanted,
before
I go off on the negative some more, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate your contribution to humanity, you know, to good judgment, to everything that's just, that's right, you know, to keeping us where we should be.
Well, that's very kind, but, you know.
But, and okay. Also, then, on the negative note, I just have to say about right-wing nuts, like those, you know, like this guy who you know, they, like, pop out of the freaking bushes and basically just continue to remind us that they need some serious therapy, I would say.
Therapy. Yeah, hold on a second. Stay where you are, Roger. I got to do a break here. We'll come back and finish up. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M. It's about 10 before the hour. As far as I'm concerned, that is at once the best ballet and the best piece of symphonic music ever put together. I love the Nutcracker. I just love it. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your calls tonight. Ben Birch, our podcast manager and technical advisor, Sharon Gordy. who's our military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, the economic advisor to this program. None of these people get paid anything. Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, our ethical advisors, and Catherine Bay, the executive producer. Back to Roger, who called in from Brooklyn. All right, Roger, thanks for holding on.
Yes, well, anyway, you had your Michael from the Bronx, now you had your Roger from Brooklyn.
I love it.
And
you know, I used to be on a New York radio station, and for some reason am not any longer. Isn't that weird? But anyway.
Well, you know, it's because of nutcases like this who basically, you know, I wish these people would grow up and grow up quick, you know. I know that's probably not going to happen, but because they're so greedy and stingy and for whatever, you know, punishment their parents put upon them or, you know, psychoses that they left them with or whatever.
I've never been able to understand. I can understand a conservative mind, conservatism when it is put out there by a rational human being is a viable idea that belongs in the marketplace. I wouldn't subscribe to it, but it is a viable idea. But these are not conservatives. Modern Republicans in this country are no more conservative than they are, worship chairs. They are some sort of a sick breed, Republican. They've lost the ability to think critically. It's all groupthink. What comes out of Hannity's mouth or Limbaugh's mouth or...
It's really strange. It's a very strange mentality. It's so harsh. They're so willing to just, like, cut throats so quickly and get so dirty, so nasty.
And everything to these people is either black or white unless and until it is something that they're dealing with. Then they start screaming and shrieking for all the various shades of gray that are available to them. But the rest of the country, no, it's all black, it's all white. I can't figure it out. And since I can't figure it out, I suffer these fools very, very gingerly. I don't like them on my program. I don't like getting emails from them. I don't like meeting them on the street. I don't like standing in line behind them at a grocery store. I don't like listening to them when I go have my oil changed in my pickup truck. I think the world would be a better place. Certainly America would be if these people would just shut up, stay home, quit breeding, or go, you know, hook up with, go get yourself a liberal and listen for the next 5 years to what the liberal is saying, whether it's a white person or a black person. Just get a liberal and learn something.
But the trust has been lost, and, you know, so the hypocrisy has to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's really, let's continue to do our work. And, you know, we've made good strides, and that's all.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Roger, thanks for checking in. Have a nice holiday. And if I don't have a chance to write to respond to all the emails wishing Kathy and Molly and I a happy, or me, I should say, wishing us all a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much. It's very kind to do that. We never expect it, and it's always a treat to get a, hey, Malloy, happy Thanksgiving to you and Kathy and Molly. Ian tells us that we've had three or four people from the Madison area call in with offers of further assistance to Casey and John. Again, no pressure. Casey and John sound like two people who are going to come out of this. And there are an awful lot of Casey's and John's tonight, right? We know that. We know it. And Kathy and I were talking today about the possibilities that are looming for certain members of our extended family and how we're going to respond. So, it is coming. It's here for a lot of people, but it really, 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 really is coming. A financial train wreck that I hope that people who are a lot smarter than I can figure out a way to pull it back together or to put it together in a different way. It's just incredible to me the damage that's been done. I mean, I cannot. That's why I kind of turned the economic thing over to Prairie 2 for his input. I cannot get my mind around this at all, how every single day, I realize the stock market has had 3 or 4 days of upticks now, and that's a good thing, I guess. Although I see the stock market as nothing but a huge casino. I guess it generates something. I mean, it can't create something out of nothing. I don't even know that anymore. I really don't. But how deeply and severely this economy has been wrecked. If it was all just to deprive people of the social safety net, if that's what the intent was, to bankrupt everything so that there's nothing underneath this, to bankrupt Medicare or Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program or Social Security, or if that was the intent of the right-wingers, I can just assure them it's not going to happen. You've really screwed it up, but we're going to claw our way back, and the next time we're going to make sure that you people don't have the ability to screw it up again. I promise you that. Hey, have a nice long weekend, I hope. We'll be back Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.